If you can like and follow that, we would greatly appreciate it here as we try to build the audience here at Hunterdon Chamber Radio. This time of the week, we always start with our business quote of the week. It's brought to you by Crown Trophy of Flemington. And this week's quote comes to us from Steve Jobs, who said, "Great things in business are never done by one person. They're done by a team of people." And I think he nails it on the head there. You know, a lot of times in business, as the business owner, you get a lot of the credit for the success of your organization. You'll see CEOs almost movie star type status when their company is doing well. But there's a whole lot of people underneath them that really make it work. And same thing happens in my business. If we win an award, it's, you know, usually myself or Brandon who are called up to the stage to collect it. But it's everybody back home. And we know that and we appreciate that all the time. That it's the team behind us that's helping us achieve that success. So again, the business quote of the week, great things in business are never done by one person. They're done by a team of people. Truer words have never been spoken. Last Friday, Brandon and I were able to attend a seminar. It was put on by Mike Michalowicz, who is the author of Profit First. This is Mike's book here, and he is the author of Profit First, Surge, The Toilet Paper Entrepreneur, and The Pumpkin Plan. He'll be joining me on the program on June 7th to discuss the Profit First method of running your business. I highly recommend that you buy this book in advance of the show. Buy it, read it, and as you'll see in a lot of the pages, I'll show you a few. Because I haven't done this since college, but you'll see I'm highlighting pages, I'm underlining pages, so you're going to want to grab a copy of Mike's book. It's called Profit First by Mike Michalowicz. If you ever get a chance to see him speak, you will be highly entertained, but you're also going to learn a lot. The basic premise here is that we've all been doing our business accounting wrong, and I'll get into it with Mike during the interview, but think about it. How do you determine profit? And I just questioned somebody on this yesterday. I said, how do you determine, you know, your profit? And they said, well, sales minus expenses equal profit if there's anything left over. I said, what if you change that around to sales minus profit equals expenses? And what he wants you to do is when you make a deposit, take your profit first. Let's have you get paid for a change instead of paying everybody else. Brandon and I started instituting this program 2 or 3 weeks ago in our business. There's a lot to it, you know, and don't think it's just different way of making deposits. There's a lot more to it. But you're going to actually set up a bunch of accounts, six accounts, in fact, an income account, expense account, profit account, taxes account, owner's pay account. So we'll get into more details on the program. That's coming up on June 7th. Again, I'm going to encourage everybody to buy a copy of Profit First, read it, and then join us for that show on June 7th. I think that small business owners, as well as large business owners, small business owners, which is defined as $25 million in sales or less, could learn a lot about this. And wouldn't it be nice, and I asked the gentleman yesterday on the phone, if you do $700,000 in sales, and we want to take profit first at, say, a percentage of 10%. Wouldn't it be nice at the end of the year to have $70,000 more in your pocket than just going out, you know, and paying bills? So it's going to kind of teach you how to control your expenses and control your spending as well. Not exciting. I don't want to call it exciting. I'm a little upset by this one. But Secretary of State Rex Tillerson was fired by Donald Trump this week. I admire Rex, not only for the work that he did at Exxon, but also for his work that he did at the State Department as Secretary of State. Fired, as just about everybody is fired, I'm sure, by tweet. How would you love to be – he was in Africa. How would you love to see a tweet that says that you've been replaced as Secretary of State? Time to get on the plane. Got to go. A few weeks ago, I used a quote from Rex Tillerson that aired during his 60 Minutes interview a few weeks ago. And he said, "I ride for the brand." And he talked about the Old West and how if you signed up to work for a ranch, obviously there's a brand on all the animals. That's who you rode for. That's where your dedication was. And he called his brand the United States of America. Had a lot of respect for Rex. I still do. And I think he got the shaft there. Now, in the show preview, I talked about how today and tomorrow are the two least productive days in corporate America. There's a reason for that. If you turn on CBS right now, you'll find out why. Today begins the NCAA tournament, the big dance, if you will. And now people have left every office building in America, run to the nearest bar to grab lunch and catch an hour or so of the NCAA tournament. Others will be streaming it on their computers in some of the office bracket pools. They have what they call the boss button, so you can be sitting there watching the game, and then you hear the boss's footsteps. You click the boss button, all of a sudden pie charts show up. Today and tomorrow, the least productive days in corporate America. Now, also at last Friday's event, which was held at the Somerset County Library, I met another author of an interesting book, and I've invited her to come on to the program, and she'll be with me on April 5th. Her name is Jessica Weaver, and she has written the book Strong Woman, Stronger Assets. So this is Jessica's book here, Strong Woman, Stronger Assets, and Jessica's going to join me in studio as the author of Strong Woman, Stronger Assets, a book for women about how to manage their finances and investing. Now, Jessica is a CFP, CDFA, CFS. She's a wealth manager or wealth advisor from Foran Financial Group, Raymond James Financial Services, and she focuses her work on women. Her passion is helping women going through a major life transition like divorce, becoming a widow, anything else that may be happening as well. And her passion is helping women that go through those transitions so they come out stronger and more independent than ever with their life and their money. She's been an advisor with her father's firm for over 7 years, but during the past few years, she has transformed her work. She finds happiness and satisfaction from helping women improve their relationship with their money. Jess's mission is to help more women gain control, clarity, and confidence over their finances and the next chapter of their life. And she accomplishes this by hosting events throughout the year for women, writing her blog every other week, and now with her new number one best-selling book, Strong Woman, Stronger Assets, Jess just celebrated her one-year anniversary of her blog, which is called Not Your Father's Advisor, which was started in July of 2017. So, again, this would be a good book for you to pick up as well if you're a woman. Strong Woman, Stronger Assets from Jessica Weaver. And follow along on the show on April 5th. So we're glad to have her as an in-studio guest. She grew up in Annandale, New Jersey, a Central Jersey kid all her life, and now practicing with her father in their Raymond James Financial Services practice in Somerville. You're currently listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gannot. We're going to step away for our first break of the day. When we come back, why your kids should be going to Toys R Us today. We'll be right back.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Retail Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington and Crown Custom Apparel. So glad you could join me. Big news. I had mentioned this last week during the program, and it seemed a little shocking at the time, but now it's getting really real. Toys R Us is actually going to be closing all of its stores. Toys R Us is planning to either close or sell all of its more than 800 stores across the United States. The company is shopping a plan that could ultimately save roughly 200 stores from going dark if it's able to find a buyer. This would be in conjunction with saving the Canadian business. Toys R Us had already begun liquidating about 180 stores a few weeks ago under both the Toys R Us and Babies R Us banners as part of its restructuring efforts to revive the business. The retailer filed for bankruptcy protection last September, weighed down by nearly $5 billion in debt. Most recently, the company has struggled to pay on loans, and lenders had been pushing management to pursue a complete liquidation of the U.S. business. The abrupt shuttering of Toys R Us's massive store fleet will leave a chunk of vacant real estate on the market. Landlords will be scrambling to find tenants for those locations that aren't owned directly by the toy retailer. Many of Toys R Us's stores today are leased back to a separate entity created by the company known as Toys R Us Property Company, or PropCo, Real Estate Investment Trust. Including Kimco, Brixmore, and DDR own a handful of stores, while the remainder are owned directly by Toys R Us. According to real estate analysts, the likely scenario for many of these spaces will include remodeling for multiple occupants, and most of the Toys R Us and Babies R Us locations are more than 40,000 square feet in size, and some are more than 65,000. Tenants such as Dick's Sporting Goods and Best Buy, which also tend to occupy bigger boxes, aren't expanding as rapidly as anymore, leaving fewer logical replacements for these stores. So this is shocking news. We've all grown up with Jeffrey the Giraffe and Toys R Us. If you know, you're around my age, you watched as your kids grew up, and if they got money from grandma or something, they ran down to Toys R Us and bought the latest Lego or Barbie product. And it's really just come down to the internet competition is killing it and killing big box retail. And we're starting to see this trend in a lot of different industries. We've seen the demise of Sears hardware stores. We've seen the demise of major retailers like Macy's, JCPenney, things like that. And now it's hitting into the toy area. And that's one niche, if you will, where many people thought that wouldn't ever happen because as people continue to have babies, they continue to need toys and products for children. And so this is a little bit shocking to me that this is coming down the pike. But this is more and more in the Amazon effect. And I think Mike Michalowicz talks about this in his book, Surge, being able to read the wave and what's coming, not what's here now and reacting to it, but what you see coming down the road. Where does this all end? You know, do we ever get to the point where the Amazon effect is actually bad for us? And mark your calendars here, March 15th, 2018. I asked you the question first. Is the Amazon effect bad for the economy, bad for business? If it continues to keep putting industries out of business, mom-and-pop shops out of business, is it the best way, you know, for us to go? There could come a time, and they predict that 70% of people will be getting their groceries online and having it delivered to their home by the year 2024. Is that really what we want, to just be shut-ins in our house and just click everything? Or do you like going out to the stores and the malls and picking what you want? There is a dangerous condition that could be destroying your company's customer service. And I want to talk to you about this for just a few minutes. But businesses that suffer from this common syndrome may stay ahead of the competition, but they actually fail to meet their customers' expectations. Now, here's a classic business maxim that was an article of faith for generations. And it said, it's essential to know at all times what your competition is doing, or you might lose old accounts and new prospects. So ask yourself, are you always worried about the competition? In the age of the customer, an obsession with the competition can result in an unfortunate and dangerous condition I call the customer, what customer syndrome, or CWCS for short. Now, a company has CWCS when it's more likely to ask, what's my competition doing, than the much more appropriate question of, what do my customers want, and what are my customers' expectations? There are two levels of CWCS, so let's break into them. Level one afflicts employees when the company focuses not on the customer. You see level one CWCS all the time across the marketplace. A fast food employee shoves a sack of burgers at you without even looking at you or saying anything. No smile, no thanks for your business. That's a classic CWCS. When two employees can't break away from their very important chat to engage you as you enter their store or department, you've also been a victim of CWCS. If you call a business to get help with a product or service issue that the company needs to fix, and afterwards you thank the employee who helped you, who then says incredibly, no problem, as if you've just been forgiven for bothering him, you were just slimed by CWCS. So let's just back up a little bit on those three scenarios and correct the responses. In the first example, the proper behavior for anybody in customer service, I don't care where you're at, whether it's McDonald's, Crown Trophy, Macy's, engage the person with direct eye contact, a sincere smile, a simple but powerful thank you, please come back again. We always tell people, a lot of times we'll get compliments, oh, you guys are the best, and we just got a beautiful review from a woman yesterday on some apparel orders that we did for her, and she said this is the only place to go. And you know, we thanked her when she was in the store, but we always say that people tell all your friends and neighbors, and she took that to heart. But the most important thing, and this is for anybody, whether you're 17 working as a waitress or 70 working in a business, eye contact. Let them know you're trying to connect with them. In the second situation, when a customer comes in, there should be no chatting allowed between your employees. They can take up their conversation again later. Even if the customer says they're just looking, more times than not, a just-looking visitor will need help within a few minutes. So you should be ready to help them and look up. And finally, in the third scenario, instead of no problem, which is the worst thing to ever say to a customer, how about, I'm very sorry you had this problem. Thank you for allowing us to make it right. Is there anything else we can do for you? Organizations that suffer from level one CWCS commit plenty of resources to stay ahead of the competition in products, pricing, and marketing. But if training happens at all, it's usually to sell at customers rather than deliver on expectations. And sadly, often there is no training which allows CWCS to occur naturally, like rust, with the same unfortunate results. The good news is that level one CWCS is absolutely preventable. All it takes is hiring the right people and training them to focus on being relevant to customers and their expectations first, and not the competition. There's also one more thing. Management has to operate the business so that employees believe the company is focused on getting customers what they really want, rather than manipulating customers in order to beat the competition and make the sale. I want to go back for a second to that second situation. When the customer comes into your business and you're looking at your cell phone, or maybe one of your customer service reps is looking at their cell phone, or they're reading something on the internet, they're not instantly engaging with that customer. Nothing more annoying. I want to give you an example of two girls that have provided me with excellent customer service in the past few weeks. And I shouldn't do this because you're all going to go down there and then I won't be able to get a reservation. So my wife and I, gets to be Friday night. It's kind of a flip of a coin. We're either going to eat home or we're going to go out to dinner. We're both tired after a long week. And usually the coin always flips on, let's go out to dinner. So we go to Alfonso's in Somerville. 3 weeks ago, we had a young lady wait on us. Everything about her level of service, and credit Anthony, the owner there, for doing a great job training his staff, because he is on them, you know, like white on rice. But this girl was so attentive. Our glasses never got emptied. She came back several times to check on our order. She kept us apprised. Your food will be out in just a few minutes. She did everything she could to make sure that we were well taken care of. As a result, she also got a really good tip, you know, probably 30-35%. Not that I have that kind of money to throw around, but I really believe that she deserved a reward that night for the excellent service. Last week, we go back to Alfonso's, different waitress. I believe her name was Gabby. And she came over with just an infectious personality, always smiling, didn't write one thing down, but got our order perfect. Made sure that, you know, the same thing. Water glasses are full. Iced tea is full. Do you need another beer? Food comes out. It's piping hot. Comes back a few minutes later. How is everything? She's joking with us, having a good time. I think some of her members of her family were sitting at a table next to us, but she was taking care of them, taking care of all the other tables in her section. At the end of the night, same thing, 30 to 35% tip. And I actually walked over to the family table and I said, "Is Gabby your cousin?" to one of the young ladies sitting there. She goes, "Yeah." I said, "Would you please tell her that that was the best service I've ever had while at Alfonso's?" Now, I don't know whether they did tell her and what her reaction was, but the next time I go, I'm actually going to ask for one of Gabby's tables, because that's what I want. I want good service. And I've been in restaurants where, you know, you place your order and 30 minutes later, you're like, are we going to get our food sometime tonight? So I appreciate the good service at Alfonso's, appreciate the great food as always. And I appreciate the way Anthony wants to make sure the customer is having a good experience, both with their food, with this, with the surroundings, the atmosphere, and with the help. Great job down there, and looking forward to hopefully going back again soon for more great Italian food. When we come back, I'm going to talk about how to get a big return from a small marketing budget. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inChamberRadio.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
They're out of control. Russia is.
That's Republican U.S. Senator John Cornyn reacting to news that the Trump administration is now following through with sanctions against Russia for meddling in the 2016 presidential election. The sanctions authorized by Congress months ago.
You see what happened in the United Kingdom, and I was glad to see Nikki Haley, our ambassador to the United Nations, take such a strong stand against that sort of activity.
Treasury Chief Steve Mnuchin says in a statement the sanctions will confront and counter Russian cyber activity, including attempted interference in future U.S. elections. First Lady Melania Trump is set to have talks with tech leaders next week about cyberbullying. The Tuesday session will include leaders from Facebook, Google, Amazon, Twitter, and Snap. And this is USA Radio News.
Want to refresh your wardrobe and home? Get to Kohl's Friends and Family Sale and take an extra 20% off with promo code FRIEND. With an extra 20% off, LC Lauren Conrad floral tops are just $23.99. Jumping Beans tees are only $6.40. And a KitchenAid Artisan Stand Mixer is $299.99. And you'll get $60 Kohl's Cash. A spring refresh for the family, Kohl's Cash for you. Right now at Kohl's. Select styles. Offers valid March 14th through 18th. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Everyone loves liberty, so why are you letting other people tell you what's best for your health care? Exercise your freedom with Liberty Health Share. Liberty Health Share is a community of people who voluntarily share one another's medical costs. Members are able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their health care. Stop letting others tell you what to do. Call us at 855-58-LIBERTY for more information, or check us out online at libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
You are listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me. My name is Jim Gano, the host of this program and the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington, as well as Crown Custom Apparel, Crown Signs, and Crown Promotional Products. Again, glad you could join me. I get excited when we talk about business and marketing and sales, and I hope you do too. And I hope that you're energized by your business. I hope that it is not drudgery for you to go to work, and that you're not getting that sinking feeling in your stomach on a Sunday evening that, ugh, I got to go to work in the morning, because I never get that feeling and haven't had that in 9 years. And we just celebrated our 9th anniversary at Crown Trophy of Flemington. Very proud of that. And big things are happening. There's a lot going on over there. And, you know, this is one of those times when it's exciting to be in business, because the trophy division is clicking and the apparel division is clicking and promotional items is clicking. And You know, so we're really happy with the way things are going right now. Got a good staff, good people, and it makes it easy to go to work in the morning. Let's talk about small marketing, or let's talk about getting a big return on a small marketing budget. Now, a lot of people, and I've said this over and over here on the program, when people call me and they want to pick my brain and say, you know, how should I go about marketing? How should I? I don't have enough money. I don't have enough time. I don't have, you know, every excuse in the book. It really doesn't cost a whole lot to market your business. But if your business has a strong online presence and you're just not bringing in new customers, I have a few digital marketing methods that may help. And while having a strong online presence is crucial to expanding your business, you may need some extra assistance to start bringing in new customers. A strong online presence that is optimized and credible can be a great foundation, but on its own, you may not see too much traffic right away. So here are a few paid methods to give your business that extra push that you've been looking for. First off would be a paid search campaign. Now, pay-per-click or PPC campaigns are also referred to as search engine marketing or SEM or paid search. And it's the process of obtaining website traffic by purchasing ads on major search engines. And if you really want people to visit your website and view your product and services, PPC could be a viable option for you. One of the most common paid search channels is Google AdWords, where you can bid on keywords to get your ad in front of people who are searching for a business like yours. One benefit of PPC is that you only pay when a potential customer clicks on your ad, allowing you to carefully control and measure the results on a small budget. There's also lead generation services. Now, while online ads are an excellent tool for cultivating new business, results are not always immediate. If you're interested in getting new customers in the door immediately, then lead generation services are an excellent way to reach customers in the market for services just like yours. Lead generation services are mainly used for home services, and they typically allow you to pay only for jobs that you accept and complete for a customer. You can usually choose to bid on shared leads on a first-come, first-served basis, or you can choose to pay more for private leads. Some popular lead generation services include Home Advisor, HomeU, Angie's List, and Thumbtack. And there's also social media ads. Now, do most of your customers spend time on social media? Well, if so, you could consider buying ads through Facebook or Instagram. These ads are customizable for what you are hoping to accomplish, what audience you are trying to target, and when and where you want it to appear, and what kind of budget you want to work with. On Facebook and Instagram, you can track your ads to see where and when they perform the best. Both platforms use the same tools for ad creation, and you can even use Facebook Ad Manager to place ads on other sites. So I want to talk about the Facebook ads for just a second because we've started doing that. We ran a campaign this week on apparel. One color imprint on t-shirts for 50 cents plus the cost of the shirt and a $40 setup fee. We're getting a tremendous response. We had a gentleman who hasn't been in our business in 3 years come walking through the back door and he says, well, with that ad, you brought me back. And he bought 45 shirts. This is a great way for you to promote your brand. And with Facebook ads, for really small money, you could do an ad campaign that could reach 20,000 people for less than $100. You pick the demographic. You pick the level of interest. You pick the areas. And as you go into it, you can follow along and just say, well, I want men or women or all, you know, between a certain age range. Are you looking for someone interested in sports or home decor or retail? Just go through all the demographics, make that big funnel into a small funnel, and then spend more to reach more people. You'll start seeing some very positive results. We've actually switched from doing cable TV advertising to doing social media advertising. We're already seeing a large uptick in the response that we're getting. So it may be something that you want to look into for your business as well. That's just one way to get it done. Let's talk for a minute about one of my favorite platforms. I love this platform. If I was still a recruiter, I'd be using this probably alone and not Monster.com or Career Builder or anything like that. But talking about LinkedIn, yesterday, and I didn't know I knew this many people, but yesterday I actually went over 1,000 contacts on LinkedIn, and I'm very selective when I agree to accept somebody. I don't just take everybody that says, hey, I want to connect on LinkedIn. I have to look at their profile and see, is this somebody that would want to do business with me? A lot of times people will send me a note, hey, heard your radio show, would like to follow you, and I certainly let them in. But if it's somebody that's in an industry or in a country I've never heard of, then I probably would, you know, not want them to be a follower. So over 1,000 followers now on LinkedIn. I didn't know I knew that many people. I didn't know I knew more than 10. But let's talk about how you can use LinkedIn to get referrals for new clients. Now, is your small business getting the most out of LinkedIn? Is your small business even on LinkedIn? Well, here I want you to learn how you can use the business networking site to boost your profile and get more customers. Now, if you're not using LinkedIn to get referrals for new clients, you are not getting the most out of the business networking platform. Yes, like other social sites, it is a way for you to get your business noticed. But you can use LinkedIn for so much more. Now, when people visit your LinkedIn profile, they should see everything they need to know about your business. But how do they visit your profile if they don't know about it? Or if they do know about it, how can you make them stick around? So here are 6 ways that you can do things to improve your LinkedIn profile and get more referrals for new clients. First, obviously, is to create a profile background. If you really want your profile to get noticed, you need to make sure that it stands out. And to do this, your profile should have a background header or headline that is going to catch the attention of those who are looking for your services. A headline will tell people who you are, what you do, and show that you are an authority in your industry. 3 W's, what have I always told you on this program for the past 6 years? People have to know who you are, where you are, and what you do. The second is, you have to get a new headshot. It's always a good idea to have a photo with your profile, but it shouldn't be one that was taken with friends or a romantic partner or scanned from your high school yearbook. It is best to have a professional headshot. Yes, you will likely have to pay a photographer for this, but it's going to be well worth it in the long run. If you're not able to have professional photographs taken, ask a friend or family member to take some photos of you that have a professional appearance with a blank background. You also want to write a profile summary. In addition to having a headline, you'll also need a profile summary, and that first line should be just a headline to grab the attention of clients. The summary should begin with an engaging statement or question, something that is going to make people think. Your summary should be written in conversational form, so it sounds like you're having a chat with the person who's reading your profile, not lecturing them. This is also a good place for your resume summary. You also need to build a strong online presence. Now, you're going to need to create a strong online identity. And there are various ways that you can do this. First, have a personal profile for each professional in your business, and you're going to need to have a company page with general information, and you can even create showcase pages for specializations. Use search engine optimization techniques, or SEOs, to create content that is going to be found in searches and that people are going to be interested in. You also need to reach out to your current clients. Now is the time to start connecting with clients. Invite them to join you on LinkedIn if they aren't already connected. If you feel comfortable to ask, then see if any of your clients will write testimonials that you can use on your LinkedIn profile. You can also use the testimonials for your website or other marketing materials. Once you've reconnected with your current clients, then it's time to reach out to prospective clients to attract new business. How do you do that? By looking at the people that your clients are already connected to. So let's talk about connecting with potential clients. As you connect with the potential clients, it's important to build a strong relationship that's beyond LinkedIn. Whenever possible, it's a good idea to meet these people in person so you can really get to know who they are, their needs, and how your business can help them. Build a relationship offline and continue to send out emails and other notifications to keep your company fresh, top of mind. So hopefully those are some tips that will help you in working with LinkedIn and how it can help you build your business, get more referrals. Okay, so now I want to talk for a minute about negotiating with a vendor. Had a gentleman call me the other day, and he knows his business. I know he knows his business, but he was concerned that he was being overcharged by some of his vendors. And he asked me, how do you do it? How do you keep your costs down, your prices down? And I basically said, look, sometimes I pay full price, but I get excellent service. Other times I have to, if I'm doing a competitive bid, I've got to get my costs down as low as I can. And I'll tell that to my vendor. And if they can move a couple of percentage points, great. But small business owners shouldn't be afraid to negotiate lower rates from vendors. They just need to be careful how they do it. So to some extent, everything is negotiable. And that's good news for business owners working hard to make every dollar count. But many small business owners worry that the adage may not apply to them, especially if they're just getting started or they're saddled with a smaller budget. Nevertheless, experts agree that small business owners should not be afraid to negotiate lower rates from vendors. They just need to be careful how they do it. And with that in mind, we have some expert tips that are designed to add a little more moxie to your negotiation skills. As you hear these, I want you to also think about the words of Colin Powell when he said in his autobiography, "I don't know what I can get away with until I try." All you're doing is asking a question. Let's say the product is going to cost you $3.55. But you need to get it at $3.25. Ask for it at $3. If they come down to $3.30 and you're at $3.20, you need to be at $3.25 and you're close enough, you just save 20 cents per piece. You've got to ask. But if they say it's $3.50, you say, okay, who wins? So first of all, you want to do your homework. Preparation is everything, especially when you're up against seasoned negotiators. So you want to start by gathering information and data about how much things cost. Learn about the company you're negotiating with, including the jargon and the culture of their business. Your goal is to establish credibility, and the best way to do that is to sound like you know what you're talking about. 80% of your time should be spent in preparation and 20% in negotiation, said Eric Albert Zimmer, who's the associate teaching professor at the University of Notre Dame Mendoza College of Business. You also want to develop a relationship. Negotiating with the big guys can be intimidating. But if you can get them to like you, they might be somewhat flexible. Without their respect, you won't get anywhere, said Cliff Anicko, who's the small business attorney and author of the Small Business Survival Guide. Easier said than done, not if you start by convincing the other party that this is not a one-and-done deal. Many vendors may be concerned that you're not for real, that they won't be able to collect payment, and that there won't be a steady flow of business. Your job is to convince them otherwise. Vendors are looking for quality experiences and long-term commitments, and they will be more willing to negotiate if they think that you can offer both. Never, ever, ever don't start with price. In any negotiation, it's best not to begin talking about price. Instead, talk about your industry and what you do well. First, sell yourself and your company. You send the message that it's not all about price. It's okay to mention any connections that you may have in the industry, Anicko said. Maybe their vice president of marketing was in your college fraternity, or if you have a board member with 3 patents, say that. But you must first establish credibility. And you want to be talking to multiple vendors. Have them fight against themselves. Negotiation is like a game of poker, Anicko said. It's about the cards you hold in your hand, but it's also how you play them. This is why it helps to negotiate with multiple vendors. Let them know up front that you're talking with the competition, but make sure you have the data and the knowledge to back it up. You might say, you're at a $19 a unit price, but others are offering it to me at $17. What am I going to get extra for those $2? In any case, choose your vendors wisely. Look for reputable vendors who can offer products and services that are important to you, such as lower costs or faster delivery. And remember, integrity is everything, both yours and the vendor's. Know what's important to you. Before you negotiate, determine what matters most. Delivery time or warranty terms may be more desirable than price, for instance. Trade off a monetary thing for a non-monetary concession, such as better delivery or service, said Anicko. If you're only a buck apart, for example, do a redirect and say, I can live with the extra dollar, but if I'm going to pay that, I need delivery in 5 business days. Likewise, don't be afraid to negotiate volume discounts if it applies to your situation. And finally, bring other things into the negotiation. Negotiations are rarely straightforward. It's wrong to think that the sale is simply a question of one person taking a percentage of the surplus and the other person having the rest of the surplus, Zimmer said. People can bring other things to the table, so they are not bargaining on one item. Maybe there's something that costs you very little but provides great value to the other side, such as the name of another purchaser, for example. If in any negotiation, it almost always comes down to who needs the deal more, you or the vendor. Unfortunately, too many small business owners assume they are at a disadvantage because they're the smaller party. If you want to turn things around, do your homework, consider all the circumstances, and be assertive in your approach. Be confident. The number one thing I see lacking in small business owners is confidence. You know what you do better than anybody else. Be confident about it. And don't be afraid to let people know exactly what you do. If you go to a vendor and say, look, I'm good for $500,000 a year in sales, or I'm good for purchasing $50,000 to $60,000 in material, let them know that, because they're going to compare you against others. And when you start rising to the top, you're going to get a whole different level of service. We've seen that in our apparel division, and we became one of the top 50 distributors for one of our vendors, and they treat us like gold every time they see us. So make sure you're taking advantage of every aspect that you possibly can in a negotiation. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. I'm going to step away and close the program in just a few minutes.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And I've been taking care of business. Every day, taking care of business. Every way, I've been taking care of business. It's all mine, taking care of business. And working overtime will help me.
Aw, you lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano. So glad you could join me on this beautiful, sunny Thursday afternoon, starting to warm up a little bit, went through daylight savings time, and now all of a sudden, it's starting to feel like the way I want it to feel around here. Soon, grass will be sprouting up through the snow, and time to brush off that lawnmower and enjoy summer again. So looking forward to all of that. All right, let's talk a little bit about social media. I have been bombarded over the last several weeks with questions about social media marketing. What should I do? What shouldn't I do? Do I need a Facebook page for my business? Can't my personal one be enough? I did a story on that a few weeks ago where it said that you want to separate the personal from the professional. And it just makes sense, to make sure that you have that individual profile so that you're not confusing your customers with your personal type of business. So with that in mind, how do you get your followers to pay attention to your social media pages? Is it enough to just have them like you and follow you and things like that? If you need to boost engagement with your customers on Facebook, consider holding a contest or a reward for their likes, their shares, and their comments. Now, have your business's social pages gone quiet? Repetitive or strictly promotional content won't keep your Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter followers' attention or encourage engagement. So consider holding a contest to inspire those likes, shares, and comments from your customers so that you can keep the conversation going. In order for a social media contest to be effective, think about what will motivate your customers. If you sell beauty products, for instance, invite your followers to take action with a free sampler gift set or new bath bomb. Are you a landscaper gearing up for a busy spring? Entice your followers with a 50% off coupon for a spring-ready lawn. Not sure what social media posting tactics to use to captivate your audience? Try one of these contests to spark your customers' interest and keep them hooked. I do this very often. Put out a poll, a simple poll question. If you gear towards your products or services, poll questions can be a fun way for your customers to interact and help you understand what your Facebook followers are really after. Asking your customer to vote on their favorite product you sell or their favorite feature of your services not only prompts engagement, it gives you some valuable market research. And you can encourage participation by awarding a prize to a randomly selected voter. Now, of course, you know that you shouldn't always specifically promote your business on social media, so try a poll of favorite places to eat in your city or favorite sports in the Olympics. This helps customers connect with you on a more personal level. Tools like WooBox make it easier to create a poll on your choice of your choice with a clean design and responsive elements. How about a photo caption contest? Now, these kinds of contests work well because they don't take long to respond to. Simply post a photo of your team on a job, your staff at a team building event, a candid photo of a local high school football coach, or a selfie with a Snapchat filter, and ask your customers to leave a comment with a caption to describe the photo. Promote the contest with a gift basket or tickets to this weekend's local event or anything of interest to your followers. This kind of contest opens up the conversation with your followers, showing that you value their responses on your post. And if your followers are made to feel wanted and welcome on your social channels, this open-ended conversation can spark further engagement on a wide variety of topics that you share. You can also hold a sweepstakes. This is the best kind of content, or contest to use when you're looking to get more activity on your Facebook page. Or if you want to have them win a special discount or a spa day or a gift card. You can advertise this kind of contest on your checkout counter, in your waiting room, or on your website. Announce the winner on your Facebook page and post a photo of you handing the lucky winner to their prize. You'll be amazed at how effective a desirable giveaway can be with your customers. Ask them to submit photos to you. Ask your customers to take a photo of themselves or their friends and post it with a tag to your business page of them using or receiving your product. This can be an effective way to show your customers' enjoyment of your product or services and show off your work to others in the process. The customers who follow the instructions and tag your page can be drawn for a contest to win free services through the rest of the year or a brand new grill to add to their new outdoor hangout. And how do you launch a social media contest? Each of the contests works best when you announce the details in advance. Announce your contest 2 or 3 weeks out and keep the countdown going every 5 days. In your initial announcement post, share the details. Lay out the steps your followers will need to take in order to be entered for the prize, as well as what the prize includes. Make sure to announce the deadline for any entries or votes, and encourage your followers to share your announcement on their personal page so that you get more of their friends involved as well. And after the contest is over, the winner has been announced, thank your followers for their participation in a follow-up post, and keep them on the lookout for the next contest. Contests should be used sparingly and in conjunction with your other post formats to keep things interesting and fresh on your business page. If effective, contests can further your ability to connect with customers on social media, no matter if held on your Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter pages. Use the data gathered from these contests in your digital marketing strategy to keep your small business growing. So we've seen it a lot here with the FCP. There's the Flemington Community Partnership. They just finished their Love Flemington campaign. Got a lot of people interested, stopping into businesses, grabbing their lollipops, filling out a card, leaving their email address, and that's all data that the FCP can use for future contests and or marketing and promotions. So all good stuff there. It's time for me to go back to my office, turn on the TV, and start watching the NCAA tournament. I still will be getting some work done, but I got to make sure my brackets are not busting on the first day. In sports, in NCAA men's basketball, it's time to go dancing as the NCAA men's basketball tournament kicked off at noon today. How will your brackets do? And in NASCAR news, Kevin Harvick won his third race of the season, third in a row, last week at Phoenix. And this week, the teams head to Fontana, California for the Auto Club 400 Sunday at 3:30 p.m. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you this afternoon, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well when he said, "Never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best." If you have ideas for upcoming program topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGaneau83, or on Facebook on our new page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Ganeau. I'm Jim Ganeau, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
Today at the White House, President Donald Trump spoke out for the first time about the poisoning of a Russian spy in the United Kingdom earlier this month. Now, it looks like Russia is responsible for this. Take a listen to the president's initial comments when asked a question regarding this and what would happen.
I spoke with the prime minister, and we are in deep discussions, a very sad situation. It certainly looks like the Russians were behind it, something that should never, ever happen, and we're taking it very seriously, as I think are many others.
Moments ago, President Trump did make some remarks at the Friends of Ireland luncheon.
St. Patrick's Day is a time for us to honor and build upon the lasting bonds of our friendship between the United States and Ireland. Bonds forged through a very common heritage, shared values, and a united vision for a peaceful and prosperous future.
This is USA Radio News.
Guys, are you tired of being tired? Frustrated because it seems impossible to lose belly fat? If you're looking for a solution, then listen to Mark.
I had fantastic results with the Andro 400 Max. Probably lost 35 pounds, and more impressive than that was the inches I lost off of my belly and my waist.